Turn in your Bibles, the book of Romans, chapter 10. And I want to read verses 8 through 11. Romans chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is what's known as the Romans Road. It is in innumerable amounts of gospel tracts. That word is in quotes. Now, the reason I got this in my mind is some of you know, most of you know, my dad has cancer. And part of the thing I'm doing is taking him to chemotherapy, and I also take him to his radiation treatment sometimes. And then, see, now he's actually in the hospital where his lung collapsed, but he's doing better. It's back to 80%. He can breathe, but they're still messing with him. Spending this much time in doctor's offices, okay, is not fun. And I'm not even the one getting the treatment. But if you happen to use a restroom while you're there, there's a gospel tract in there somewhere. I swear to God, it's like it's a law. And I pick them up, and then I come out of the hospital the other day. Deb was there in her car, and on her under her windshield was a gospel tract. Under my windshield was one of these gospel tracts, you know. And it was one of the Romans Road ones. So y'all are stuck with it now. Because this is the scripture you're supposed to use. And you're supposed to give to people these tracts so that they can get saved. That's also in quotes. Because don't you want to get saved? Actually, it says the Romans Road, the one I had, is, I don't think I brought it, I meant to, but I don't think I picked it up because I couldn't. I forgot. It said the Romans Road to heaven. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this is a beautiful piece of scripture. And every word in this scripture is true. However, it is misused badly by people who want everyone to make a decision for Jesus. That's in there too. There's so much left out, ignored, or just plain denied by these people who misuse these verses that the truth of this scripture is lost in these tracts. It is. And not only that, it's lost in sermons that people preach about it too. This portion of Romans 10 begins with this statement. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now this verse should be enough to cause some people to question those tracts. Because Paul addressed this whole letter to the Romans, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. That's who the letter is addressed to. He states of these people in Romans 10 that are, they have the word nigh unto them, near unto them, the word of faith which we preach. First of all, now, just in case some people don't know, Paul wrote elsewhere, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. no matter what Arminian preachers say. I've been in places, and a lot of you have too, where everybody's got faith. You just got to fan that little spark, or the divine spark, or whatever, or you got to work it up in you. You've got to believe. But every man, they'll quote the scripture, God has delivered to every man the measure of faith. Well, if you look at that scripture in context, I wrote it down because I don't trust my memory sometimes. He addressed that statement to those who have been given grace, grace among you, as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. Those among you that God has given grace do have faith, every single one of them. If you don't have grace, you are not going to have faith. So it seems to me this is not the starting point for this scripture, where Paul says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. According to Paul, this comes after hearing what he preached. Now, there are 9 chapters before Romans chapter 10. That's right, I did good in math. There are 9 chapters of stuff he wrote leading up to this point, and there are points after this. And I think some of those 9 chapters need to be addressed before you get into chapter 10. I want to see gospel tracts about Romans chapter 9, Mason. I want to see a good gospel tract on Romans 8, 28 through 30 or 32. Before I'll listen to what they want to tell me about Romans chapter 10. I've been in places where they'll tell you that Romans 9 doesn't have anything to do with salvation. And Romans 7 does, Romans 8 does, and Romans 10 is the road. Romans 9, that's just talking about nations. It's God talking about his people all the way through. People need to hear about Romans 3, where there's none that seek after God. And they're all gone out of the way before you talk about Romans 10. Because God has an order to his work. Man wants to pick and choose and distort. But Paul wrote all of this before he wrote Romans 10. Romans 1 through 9 is part of the word of faith which we preach, which Paul preached. There's all kinds of preaching before you get to Romans 10. Believers are taught the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you don't believe, it's not the power of God. If you don't believe, it's usually either a stumbling block or it's foolishness. He says that too. And you'll see it. I've seen it. We learn that circumcision is of the heart in the spirit, not in the flesh. We were taught that righteousness, the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. We learn that blessed is the man to whom the God will not impute sin. We were taught that God's people were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Not by our acceptance of it. We were reconciled by the death of his Son when we were enemies. And now it's even better because we're saved by his life. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Believers are instructed that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is not through what we do with Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We talked about it last week. Our faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Not our believing, our faith. And like Earl said, God's faith is perfect. My believing is imperfect, but God's faith and God's gift is perfect. All of God's chosen people, when the Holy Spirit comes and gives them life and dwells in them, that's perfection. I don't always feel it, but I believe it. I don't believe very well sometimes, but I believe. Never mind. We have learned that in our flesh dwells no good thing, but we delight in the law of God after the inward man. Believers are taught that they are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Like, say, good track on that. We also learn that God makes the vessels out of the same lump, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. We learn that this is God's work, that we believe Christ. That's all in Romans 1 through 9. Then you come to Romans 10. We are taught this word of faith that Paul and others preached. We are taught that if thou shalt confess Jesus as your personal Savior, thou shalt be saved. That ain't it. That's what I hear. You can turn on the television and hear that just about every day. And God knows how many times on Sunday. It's not true. That if thou shalt confess, I made a decision for Jesus. That's not it either. We are told to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Nothing less. How do we do that? Well, in order to confess with your mouth, that you actually have, in order to confess with your mouth, you actually have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I've been places, and I'd say some of you have too, where they talk about you accept him as your Savior, and then you make him your Lord. That's a lie. Because you ain't making him anything. I am not making him anything. He is Lord. He always has been Lord. He always will be Lord. But we are to confess him, Lord Jesus. And in order to do that, you have to have the faith of Christ. You have to believe Jesus Christ is Lord, which is the gift of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what this scripture states, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, not only do you have to confess, you have to believe in your heart. I've heard him say, anybody can do that. I've heard him say it and mean it sincerely. They're wrong, but they're sincere about it. Because what Christ preached about the heart of man says a little something different. Jesus Christ said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Give Jesus your heart. What in the world would he want with murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies? No, he's got to give you a heart. But see, I've been in places where 1 week they could read that and talk about how bad man is. And talk about how the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then they'll turn right around that you need to give Jesus your heart. There's no... They think it's a paradox. No, this is actually a contradiction. Not the scripture, their part. Because what the scripture says is true. Romans 3 says, there's none that seeketh after God. But we're told to seek after God. That's all right, it goes on. It says, I'm found of them that sought me not. That's the kind of grace I need. And that's the kind of grace they're not talking about in these little gospel tracts they pass out. The things that come out of your heart defile you, because man's heart is defiled. Man, as he is born, is dead. And it's not what a man puts in himself that defiles, it's actually what comes out. And it will come out. In order to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you have to believe in your heart. You don't just decide to believe. It's not actually the way it is preached in most places today. It's not that you're making a decision. Well, it is for them. But man, as he is, can't make that decision. Truly. Because it has to come out of the heart, out of the being, the spirit in a man. In order for this to happen, You have to be given faith from God. And that's part of what they leave out in tracts also. This faith is in God, Christ, and the Spirit. The believing is the work of God. That's what it says in John. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's part of the word of faith that Paul preached. That word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, if you believe in your heart. Because if you believe in your heart, that's God's work. It's not the preacher's work. It's not your work. It's the work of God. And I thank God it's not my work. Because I'm not real good at it. I said it before, I'll say it again. Some days I believe more than others. Thankfully, up until this time, I don't doubt him. I don't doubt Christ. But some days, maybe even I doubt myself, whether I'm one of his, whether I actually know him, or do I just have it from book learning. Other days I'm pretty good at it. And I thank God for those days too. But I never doubt Him. He is Lord whether I know Him or not. He is God, manifest in the flesh, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for His people, waiting for His enemies to put under His feet. And that's not a good place to be. God's work is good. Mine's not. God's faith is perfect, but I'm still imperfect. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Just in case you weren't sure about the other part. He said it again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the work of God. God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's the work of God. That's something else they leave out of the tracts. They leave it out because they don't believe it. They do not believe that it is God that works in His people both to will and to do of His good pleasure. They do not believe that our God's in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And I'm going to tell you, if you bring it up to them, you'll find out that they hate it. They hate this word of faith, which we preach. And they hate because they love darkness rather than light. They cannot confess the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't know Him. And they hate Him. How can they hate Him if they do not know Him? They hate anything and everything that is contrary to what their thoughts are of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because if what we say is right, so much of what they say is wrong. And Earl told that story one time, and he'd talking to somebody, and they said, "You mean my 30 years of teaching Sunday schools in vain," or however long it was? Maybe it was. "My 50 years of preaching has been in vain." No, mostly it's been heresy. And in a way, it was the will of God, but that doesn't make it good. This is the work of God, to confess with thy mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Those who do shall be saved. Those who do not shall not be saved. It's nothing new. This is nothing new. I went back to where I looked at last week, Isaiah 43. This is Old Testament. Isaiah 43 and verse 11. "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." About salvation. I wonder who does it. "I have declared and have saved." and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? The next verse says, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord has declared, and the Lord has saved. That's Old Testament salvation, Mason. The Lord has declared, and the Lord has saved. Guess what? That's New Testament salvation too. I get so tickled at people when I think back, and they'd say, well, he's just the same today. He's just the same today. They sing the song. The God that lived in the olden times, he's just the same today. Then I'll get up here and I'll preach that God in the Old Testament was different. No, he declared and he saved. He did all his pleasure then. He's doing all his pleasure now. And right now, God has declared that we are saved. We were reconciled at the death of his son. That's over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, we were reconciled by the death of his son and kept by his life. He's still alive. This is written in the past tense here, in Isaiah. That's because it was in the past he declared and he saved. It was so far in the past that the world wasn't even made then. It was before the foundation of the world. The declaring and the saving happened before the foundation of the world. This is nothing new. This is older than the world we live on. This is truer than anything man has ever said. God will work, and God's people shall believe. And God's people shall confess, and God's people shall be saved. This is God's work. This has always been God's work. And he doesn't change. Maybe we ought to do up a gospel tract on Romans 9. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? God has declared, and God has saved. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is true. All the rest of the stuff in those little tracts generally is wrong as wrong can be. Who maketh thee to differ? If God did it, it's forever. If you do it, or if I do it, not so much. Usually not even close. Because I can change my mind 3 times in 5 minutes. But what God does, it is forever. And that's the kind of salvation I need. And that's the kind of salvation I want. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this day. This place. But most of all, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for giving us faith. Thank you for your work that we would believe him whom thou hast sent. In his name we ask. Amen.